Well, can you just imagine Mary and Joseph in that barn with that baby Jesus in that manger, turning to one another and saying, why us? Why us? Why did God choose us? Well, we could look at history and say, well, Joseph was in the ancestry of David. And so therefore, of course, that's prophecy predicted that Joseph would be the stepfather of Jesus. And Mary came through the line of Ruth. And also, she would be appropriate, historically speaking, because the prophets also said that Jesus would come from that line. We also know that Jesus would be born of a virgin because he couldn't be born of a man who, like Adam, had been a sinner. So Jesus would be the purest, sinless person to ever face and be on this earth. And also we know that God was going to be Jesus' father. So there's some reasons perhaps why Joseph and Mary were chosen. We could look at history, look at prophecy, and say that's why. But I look at it differently in the sense that when Mary was spoken to by Gabriel and was told that she would have the Messiah, the Son of God, she responded in Luke chapter 1, verse 38, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. May everything you said about me come true. Whatever it is you want from me, I am your servant. So first and foremost, I believe God knew Mary's heart. He knew that she would be the type of person that would willingly have this child, even though she could be ostracized, she could have been cast out, she could have been stoned to death, having been pregnant before she was married. She could have been certainly shunned by the culture of that time. And yet she said, I am your servant. May it be as you want it to be. And Joseph, when he had Gabriel also come to him in a dream, he did whatever that angel told him to do, exactly the way it was. And he did exactly what he was told. And so he had that obedient heart that is so often needed by someone that's going to be a servant of God. And then, of course, there's Elizabeth. And I'm going to pick up the scriptures there, where a few days later, after Mary was told by Gabriel that she would have this child, she went to Judea, where Zechariah lived, and she also entered the house and greeted Elizabeth. At the sound of Mary's greeting, Elizabeth's child leaped within her, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth gave a glad cry and exclaimed to Mary, God has blessed you above all women, and your child is blessed. And then she says this, why am I so honored that the mother of my Lord should visit me? When I heard your greeting, the baby in my womb jumped for joy. That was John the Baptist. You are blessed because you believe that the Lord would do what he said he would do. So why did God choose Elizabeth as well? You can see that that's sometimes a question, I don't know about you, but as life goes on every once in a while, have you ever asked the question, why me? Most of the time, most people, because most people tend to be negative, they usually, when something bad happens, they ask the question, why me? Why did this happen to me? What if we turn that on its head, as the upside-down kingdom of God often does, and when some blessing happens to you, when something good happens to you, when you realize that Jesus Christ came for you to save your very soul, to redeem your life, to give you eternal life, to change your life around from where it was to where it now is, that's better and better and better as you grow in Christ, how about you ask the question, why me? Why am I so blessed? Why are you so blessed to be in this time and in this place and in this specific church? How did God make all that happen for you? How is it that all of us who serve in this church come from obscure backgrounds? We're pretty insignificant in the world's eyes. There's not a one of us that ever won an Oscar. I never won the Super Bowl. I can't say that I've ever won anything of magnificence that the world would even care about. And all of you can probably say the same thing. Yes, we've had some life accomplishments, But why did God choose us here at Christ the Cornerstone Church to raise up the name of Jesus Christ, to proclaim the glory of God, to preach the gospel, to help captives be set free, to raise the dead, literally some Sundays, Mondays, or throughout the week, whenever that might be, to change and transform people's lives from a place where they thought they couldn't have God, they were unacceptable to God, they didn't belong to God, to say you are a part of the God's kingdom. How blessed are we? Are we no different than Mary, Joseph, and Elizabeth to be people that carry around in us Jesus Christ? And what if we all the time, every day, as things happened around us, small, medium, and large, we said, why me? Why am I so blessed? What? How is it that God cared so much about me and you that he decided to send his son to die for us, for people like you and me who in the world scheme of things are a bunch of nobodies? We're infamous, not famous. You don't see us on CNN, or you don't see us on flashy television. You don't see us all over the newspapers and being glorified. But God sees the work of this church, the work that we do each and every time we reach out and touch the life of somebody else and teach them about God's love and feed them a meal, hand them some clothing, help them become educated, help them understand how much God loves them. There are a lot of characters throughout the scriptures, Old and New Testament, that had everything to do with Jesus' birth. But all of us that have become Christians in the sense of understanding that Jesus came to this earth to be an example. And those of us that have chosen to let him rule our hearts, our minds, our souls, our actions. Those of us that have said we would want to be like little Jesuses ourselves. We're the ones that are changing the world person by person. And the obscurity of what other people might say is not that big a deal. Except for the fact when you give a person salvation and eternal life, when you give them the abilities that they no longer fear death or fear rejection or fear that God doesn't love them, you've given them the greatest gift you can give anyone. Isn't that so? Absolutely. Elizabeth's name meant God's abundance. God's abundance. Imagine being named Elizabeth. How many of you would rather be named Elizabeth now? God's abundance. Or maybe Jesus. God saves. God saves. Mary was 14 years old, roughly, when she had Jesus. 14 years old. What can a 14-year-old teenage person do? And I don't know about you, but most teenagers I know don't say to God, I am the Lord's servant. And many, many 50 and 60 and 70, 80-year-olds don't say, I am the Lord's servant. But that young girl was chosen by God because of her heart. And God continues to choose all of us because of our hearts, because of who we worship, who we choose to serve, and how obedient we want to be to God so that God's will is done in and through us all. Joseph was a carpenter, ordinary guy, worked with his hands, hammer and chisel, in the town called Nazareth, a town that most people despised. But from him, that son Jesus, who became also a carpenter and had that first part of his living, building things, was also the same God that built the kingdom of God, when you think about it, the real kingdom that all of us are a part of. Gabriel spoke to Daniel way back in the book of Daniel, long before Jesus was ever born, 490 years. We know that because the book of Matthew tells us there were 14 generations between Jesus' birth from the time of David. And for one generation is about 35 years. So if you multiply 14 times 35, you get 490. So 490 years later, after the prophecy in Daniel that said the Messiah would come 490 years later. And that's exactly on this day, the day Jesus was born, 490 years later after that prediction and prophecy that Daniel wrote. So even Daniel was a part of the predictions of who the Messiah was to be. So why did Jesus come to this world anyway? Well, when we look around at our world, even in Jesus' time, it was pretty messed up. People hated one another. There were factions and divisions amongst the clans and amongst the people and amongst even the Israelites. They were in two different types of places that they lived, the north and the south of Israel, and they couldn't get along. Now, can you believe that people can't get along? Isn't that just like mind-blowing that people can't get along? And the people of God couldn't get along. Can you imagine that people of God can't get along? So we need Jesus. Why he came? He came to show us what love was, love is, and love is like. He came to show us that we are to have peace with one another. He preached and he taught in every little village, every little town, to every kind of person, whether they were on the top of the list or on the bottom of the barrel. He came and he spoke to everyone about God's love for them. And he brought healing and restoration, and he wanted to bring reconciliation, togetherness, oneness, unity amongst all people, and especially unity with us and God. Because of sin, it had gotten in the way. Things get in the way in our relationship with God sometimes, don't they? And the greatest thing is that sin, that messing up, that not getting it right. And so Jesus came to be the example of what right was, what love is, and what reconciliation, how important it is. Well, why did he come to us? Well, I don't know about you, but I know I need a Savior. I need to be saved from myself very often. I need to be saved from those things that were painful and hurtful and from the separations of life where people don't always get along and needing a place where we can find peace and joy and find someone who will love us unconditionally and love you and me unconditionally. No conditions. No perfection needed. He came to a broken world, broken apart, relationship broken apart, to put it all back together. He used mercy and grace as the glue. And so for all of our relationships that we have with one another, why us? Well, I think it's because we all need to be put back together all the time for any number of reasons, as life often happens to us. But above all, we all need mercy and grace all the time, don't we? Because we are not going to get perfect yet, are we? We're working on it. But Jesus came to show mercy to those who deserved it the most, the ones who recognized their need and their understanding of their imperfection. And he came to bring reconciliation and togetherness with God and one another. So forgiveness is the other part of everything that Jesus brought to this world. If we could forgive one another, if those that don't agree with us, if we could just forgive them for not understanding us, and they could forgive us for us being us, and we could forgive them for being them, because maybe they're not perfect either. If we could just forgive and give mercy and grace to one another on a regular basis, no matter who it is, then do you think we could have peace on earth? I would hope so. I would hope so. So he came to us not to judge us, not to condemn us, but to bless us with mercy and to give us the thing we need the most, acceptance and unconditional love. So God chose people throughout the scriptures that he knew would take a message to others, that they would be willing, if nothing else, to do something difficult and even miraculous and even unbelievable, that they could be used by God. God uses and continues to use ordinary people to do extraordinary things. We all together are God's abundance. We all together are people can sit, that can show and believe and trust that God saves, God restores, God heals. So when you go through your next parts of the rest of today, I know we give out gifts all the time, and I love gifts, I must admit. Especially when it's something I've asked for. But what if we gave the gift of forgiveness to everyone? What if today was a day that we chose to give grace and mercy to those people especially who we may think don't deserve it? And what if you went to that person that you may need to have reconciliation with and restoration with, and you said, I'm bringing you the gift that God gave me. I want to share it with you. The beauty about Jesus Christ is he's like a great big casserole or a great big pie or something huge that you can share with everybody else. You get a piece for yourself, but you get to share it with others as well. The love of God is most important that all of us share that. So why did God choose us this day to hear this message? It's because God loves the ordinary. God loves the forgotten. God loves the downtrodden. God loves those that people have tried to press down, and he's here to lift them up and lift us all up. And God will choose anyone who's willing to say, I am your humble servant. May it be as you want it to be for my life. So if you ever need to know what your purpose is given to you by God to show grace, mercy, and forgiveness and the love of Christ to whoever you know. And that will always answer the question, why me? Because God chose me and God chose you. Amen. Amen.